Good afternoon, and it's good to have you here. And I know you're fanning, it's a little bit warm, but at least we're not standing out on the concrete with the sun coming down. We thought about that one, but then we decided to have a little mercy and grace to you all this time. I wanted to start simply by saying that we're delayed by 1 year on this project, and we're delayed because of ice. It'd be nice to have some of that leftover ice that we had out here that cracked all the trees and everything now. But the reason we didn't have this last year was because the ice storm put everything on hold. But we've got the beginning point of this bell tower project. So we're gonna do a little something here. And this is another reason why I didn't want you standing out there, because we're just gonna explain the project to you and then some other things. I'd like to start by saying that this started in an executive committee meeting of a way in which, how do we honor Levi and Lou Price for their service? And there was talk, well, the old bell doesn't sound like it used to. And so we started from that point, and then things sort of evolved. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about the evolution of the project itself and folks that were involved with it. So it evolved from a bell that was going to be commissioned, and we said, yes, let's go order a bell. And there's a whole lot of science to bells, and so it was better that we kind of move away from trying to create our own bell or having one cast to saying, we've got to rethink this. So we backed up with a blank slate. We started then with the sculpting of the crosses. It was a concept that we wanted. And I ended up trying to figure out who in the world could do steel work or understand how to put a foundation in for steelwork out here in this area. And I had a student that came with me probably 12 years ago out here, maybe 15 years ago, to work as I bring students out here. And he ended up being a draftsman slash engineer, and he worked for a company that designs electrical substations. And so I was talking to him about, who do you think we could get? He said, man, I'd love that project. I never get to work on anything like that. And he says, I know the geology out there because we've put substations out there. And he says, let me start drawing it. And I said, that's fine. And his name was Chris Wilson. And he's been given photographs over time. And he's been a consult to John and to others. And I think some of the other folks that were involved, the concrete as well. So anyway, I want to thank, part of the discussion of this is just thanking people for this project. I want to thank John Frost. John, you here? Wave your hand. There you are. John, for being the project supervisor on this. It was above and beyond his normal duties of Paisana to take on an additional project, especially after the ice storm. And so he was able, without John here, would not have been able to see this thing through. I want to thank Brian Ritchie. I think Brian's probably out working. I don't think Brian's in here. Brian giving assistance, groundwork assistance, for the installation of the bells. We had these drawings, but the drawings had to become real. And so who do you find that can make these size crosses? And Lord led us to a couple of guys, Dan and Justin Rossi. Would you raise your hand? These guys are here in Alpine. And they started from scratch on these and created these crosses. And I don't think it's a project that y'all get to do much of. And it was a proud day when those things finally went in the ground, and to see their handiwork going from their shop on a trailer out here and then standing up. It was a neat thing on that Friday to be out here to see that. But I want to thank you for the fabrication and the installation of those crosses. And really, so that's how the crosses are up there. They're designed, and there's all kinds of things to them. It's just not sticking something in the ground. There's concrete that goes down below. John could tell you all about that because he saw how deep those holes go to hold things like that up. But the other part of the project were the bells. And we initially started with one, but I'm going to ask Wade Klein to come up and share about these bells. There's a story to those as well.
Thank you, Bill. As you know, as Bill said, our existing bell is somewhat worn, cracked. It's probably more paint than it is structural integrity at this point. And so walking around, seeing the bell, thinking that someday we're going to have to replace that bell, I began to think about, well, where could we get a replacement bell for that one that's out there, realizing it's going to be painted every year several times. Well, at our church in Houston, South Main Baptist, we have a very wonderful family, Christian family, very generous family, supportive of several causes, and especially supportive of Baptist causes. The patriarch of that family is a man by the name of David Smith, who's probably in his 80s right now. Well, he's definitely in his 80s now. He's a very successful businessman and is a very avid collector. And he collects just some really eccentric things over his career. And I knew that David had a very large collection of old train bells, old locomotive bells. These were authentic steam bells. I mean, if you go look at these, which if you could when they were down, you can see imprinted on the top of them are numbers that have been hammered into them. And those numbers tell you what trains they served on during their career as a bell on a locomotive. David collected bells. Why? Well, he just loved train bells. And they were a nice complement to his collection of locomotives. And I'm not talking about model trains. I'm talking about he had a collection of locomotives. He loved trains. And seeing that we might someday need a replacement bell for our bell that's been here for decades, I called David's son, Doug, and said, hey, where do you go to look for a bell that looks like this? I showed him the picture that was on Paisano's website of the bell, and I said, where would one begin to find a bell like that? And he said, I don't know about that particular style of bell. It's one that's on kind of two axes up top. And he says, we don't have those. He says, but I'll tell you what, my dad is in an advancing state of dementia. And we're in the process of getting rid of various things that he's collected over time. And we're trying to get rid of a warehouse full of old train bells. And he said, so if you want to come and look and see what we have, be happy to let you come and look and see. Well, I'm always looking for an excuse to get off from work. And so I called Bill Brown, who's out here at Paisano with us. And I said, hey, Bill, let's go look at this park. It's over in east of Houston on the Ship Channel. And so we went over and looked at a warehouse full of train bells of all different sizes. And wow, what a collection it was. It was just amazing to watch in there and see these beautiful bells. The ones that instantly caught your eye, though, when you walked in, was he had two racks of about 10 bells that were mounted on these beautiful wooden timbers. You may have seen one of those racks last summer when we just had delivered the bells here. So he had two of these racks of bells like this, and they were just absolutely gorgeous, and the wood was beautiful as well. And basically he said, look, if you guys can haul it off, you're welcome to it. And so we said, you know, we'll haul it off. But again, not knowing exactly what to do with them, because it wasn't the bell that we needed to replace out here. I called Bill Collins and I said, hey, Bill, David has offered us this. Bill grew up in the church, so he knew the Smith family. And I said, David has offered us these bells, and what can we do with them? He said, Wade, you get them. We'll figure out what to do with them. And that's the history of those bells and how they ended up to come out here. I'll tell you two other things about them. When Bill Collins and I had brought them out last May or June and delivered them here to this land of no trees or very few trees out here, John Frost met us, and when we pulled up on this trailer, they had been on the trailer all the way from Houston, and every time you'd hit your brakes, you could hear the clanging of these beautiful bells as we came I-10 from Houston to Fort Stockton and came down. But when we brought them out, John came up and met us, and his eyes just lit up, and he said, wow, those are the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Can we have those? And I said, well, John, we brought them. You know we're bringing those out there to donate them. He said, we want you to have these bells. And he said, bells? I want that wood. And and he got the wood. So lastly, I'll say that I spoke to Doug Smith just a couple earlier last week, and I had sent him some pictures of what it looks like out there. And Doug called me back and he said, "Wait, I want to tell you." He said, "A year ago when you got the bells," he said, "due to my dad's dementia at the time, we weren't telling him about that we were basically giving away his collection because it would have agitated him. It would have made him so uncomfortable. And so we just were doing what we felt was best, but we weren't really able to tell him what we were doing." He said, "Good or bad, his disease has progressed such now that he's able to hear news." And he said, "I was able to show him the pictures of those bells hanging on those crosses." And he said, "Now where is this?" And he said, "It's Paisano Baptist." And David grew up in El Paso and migrated to San Antonio and ultimately to Houston. And when he said that the name Paisano Baptist, he said, "Those are so beautiful bells. I'm so glad they're there for you all." So anyway, I wanted to share that story with you. Thank you, Bill.
So there's a lot of history sitting up there, welded up there. And Wade, I appreciate you sharing that. Wade didn't mention the trouble he had borrowing his brother-in-law's trailer. That would be me. And crossing the state line in Louisiana, it really doesn't matter if you've got trailer lights over in Louisiana, but apparently it's a big thing in Texas. And we sat in the Lufkin parking lot, the Walmart parking lot there in Lufkin at 10:30, and it was 100 and something degrees, trying to figure out how to get trailer lights going. And I know that trailer lights are of the devil, at least. So anyway, I said, "Well, it's not a problem where I come from. Wait, here's the trailer." So borrowing a brother-in-law's trailer is never a good thing. But Wade, I do appreciate that. What I like about that is if David's spirit now is what it would have been if we had asked for those and his mind were clear, he would have given those. And it's a beautiful thing. All of this isn't possible without funding. And there's so many people in here that gave. And you know if you did, and you've got a part in that. But I want to recognize two men here today that are here because their parents came for about 75 years to Paisana, and they came for RA camps, and they came for a few general camps. But Travis and Pedro Crawford, would you gentlemen stand? I didn't mean to call attention to, but I'm going to do it. Thank you. They have made a significant gift in the memory of J.B. Pete Crawford and Ruth Crawford, their mother and dad. And also, Travis, when he called me up and said, "I hear you're doing something for Levi, and I want to be a part of it." And he said, "Levi wouldn't remember me." He said, "We were 11, 12 years old out there at Paisana, but I said, I always liked him, and I wanted to do something." And so it's a beautiful thing. Gentlemen, thank you for honoring your parents this way and for remembering Paisana. And then Levi and Lou Price, this wouldn't be happening except for your service to Paisana that has inspired this project. And so I just want to recognize you all at this time. But thank you for your service here. And just real quick, we're not going to belabor it. I want to talk about it. You see a picture, an artist rendition, in which you can see what it's becoming out here. We're in the middle of phase one. Phase two, as you can see behind, are going to be the rock structure with the bronze reliefs that will be coming over time. The beautiful thing about Paisana is change does not happen fast out here. And so this whole centennial project is just going to be an ongoing thing that we can probably share each year in. The crosses represent Christ's life, the life that we now embrace, his love, his forgiveness, his righteousness. We're commanded to take up our cross daily and embrace Christ's life and live as he lived. So each of us are represented by one of those crosses out there. They're interlocked, the crosses are, in the design. Calvary, we always see them separated. But here, they don't represent the crosses of Calvary. They represent each one of us, and they're intertwined to represent the fellowship that we have with each other. We're told that where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is with us. But it's also where two or three are gathered, there is Christian fellowship. You notice the rusting on the crosses. Someone asked, are we going to paint those? And first of all, let me address that. This is not a bell to be painted. This is a centennial plaza that painting a bell might get you a high five from somebody else, but dealing with this will be considered vandalism. And I just hate to say it that way, but that's the way it is. This is not a bell to be painted. This is to mark our centennial. So help us with that and help to communicate that information. But the rust on it, this steel is designed to rust but not deteriorate. And we're going to allow these to rust. The rust reflects the weathering of life, and also that none of us are perfect, since these crosses do represent us. There are different sizes, and we're all different, but together we're one. The bells, well, there's a bell for each cross, a voice, if you will. We're not to be silent. We're told, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. To represent, and that the tones of the bells also are slightly different, but they'll be ringing together to represent our corporate worship. And I would hope that we would ring these bells when we gather on Sunday night to start the week, and ring after the close of our memorial service, closing out our time together each week, symbolizing again our voices, our unity, our fellowship, and all the good things about Paisana in the last 100 years, and to honor Levi and Lou Price for their service here. At this time, I believe we have special music. Jim, if you got that.
Family of God.
thought it would be fitting for a dedicatory prayer is to have a family member from the president prior to Levi, Glenn Edwards, and Diane, if you would come now. Diane Edwards Brown.
Let us pray. Oh God, our help in ages past, you have been our help even unto this very hour. The evidence of your love is all around us. And we give you thanks on this day for the faithfulness of Levi and Lou to this place and to these people. We pray that every ringing of these bells will be a reminder of your love and of your faithfulness and of their faithfulness. And so we dedicate these bells now to them, to this place, and to you. We ask all this in the name of the most faithful one, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.